The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On the last program, we had begun a quote from a gentleman by the name of David Darling, quoting from an article which appeared in The New Scientist in September 14, 1996, volume 151, for those of you that might be interested in reading the article. The title of the article, On Creating Something from Nothing. Now, we interrupted a part of it. Let me go back. Some of you, I'm sure, are listening and were not listening last week. So let me go back and read, quote the material that I quoted last week, and then we'll continue. On page 49 of that volume of The New Scientist, what is a big deal, the biggest deal of all, is how, what is a big deal, the biggest deal of all, is how you get something from nothing. Don't let the cosmologists try to kid you on this one. They have not got a clue either, despite the fact that they're doing a pretty good job of convincing themselves and others that this is really not a problem. In the beginning, they will say, there was nothing. No time, space, matter, or energy. Then there was a quantum fluctuation from which, whoa, stop right there. You see what I mean? First there is nothing, then there is something. And the cosmologists try to bridge the two with a quantum flutter, a tremor of uncertainty that sparks it all off. Then they are away, and before you know it, they have pulled 100 billion galaxies out of their quantum hats, end quote. There is another paragraph from that article I want to quote, but I've quoted the one intact. And we had gotten down to the comment there about, whoa, stop right there. In the beginning, they will say, there was nothing, no time, space, matter, or energy. Then there was a quantum fluctuation. Now, you want an interesting task. You try and get a simple, understandable definition of what a quantum fluctuation is. And again, that idea is a pure mental construct. So we're starting off with that which has no reality, no real existence, that is giving rise to the real stuff that we see. Now, I could repeat this kind of thing interminably. It is not my intent to do that. But whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, it is absolutely important that you understand the use of this kind of process to act as though there is some real knowledge that would answer the question we're dealing with. How did nothing give rise to something? Again, I repeat, you believe whatever you want to about it, but don't try and use something which is simply speculation. Don't use that in arguments or statements as though it were factual and real and persuasive. Just understand it isn't. And it is my opinion that it is certainly possible to argue intelligently against this idea. First there is nothing, then there is something. The cosmologists try to bridge the two with a quantum flutter, a tremor of uncertainty that sparks it all off. Now, the man is being accurate in his statement. I don't know how this all this gobbledygook affects you, but he is assessing accurately what's there. And then notice next. Then they are away, and before you know it, they have pulled 100 billion galaxies out of their quantum hats. Now, whatever this is, it is not astronomy. It is not science. It is simply man, and I suspect, well, I know in some cases, for the scientists who are doing this, unregenerate men's attempts to provide some kind of a foundation that will satisfy their unregenerate minds with regard to the idea of a creator God, and secondly, the necessity of their submission to that God. And what they're doing, basically, is simply removing themselves from willingness to submit on the basis of human speculation. And as we have observed several times, there will be a time when they will discover the foolishness of what they've done. I've observed to you before, God is not going to lean out of heaven with a baseball bat and club everybody in the head until they accept his word. It's here, it's available, you do what you want to with it. But eternity is a mighty long time to repent a poor decision. Now, God allows the poor decision, but there will be a point at which an individual will understand how foolish that decision was and what the consequences are. When we start talking about eternal consequences, then I think it's very critical that people make reasonable, sensible choices, choices that are consistent with the revelation of God's truth and His Word. Now, if you don't want to do that, you don't have to, but you will reap the consequences of the choice at some point. Now, on the same page, page 49, there is another paragraph. Listen carefully. I'm quoting again from David Darling's article. Quote, "You cannot fudge this by appealing to quantum mechanics. Either there is nothing to begin with, in which case there is no quantum vacuum, no pre-geometric dust, no time in which anything can happen, no physical laws that can affect a change from nothingness to somethingness, or there is something, in which case that needs explaining," end quote. Now that statement is of sufficient importance. I want to read it to you again. Now, if you're listening, listen carefully and think about what the man is saying. Quote, "You cannot fudge this." This is the starting off with a quantum fluctuation that gives rise to everything. "You cannot fudge this by appealing to quantum mechanics. Either there is nothing to begin with, in which case there is no quantum vacuum, no pre-geometric dust, no time in which anything can happen, no physical laws that can affect a change from nothingness to somethingness, or there is something, in which case that needs explaining," end quote. And I think he presents the quandary quite well. We live in a universe of something now, somethingness, to use his term. It doesn't take too long to discover it is not eternal, hasn't been here forever. If it's not, hasn't been here forever, then it had to have a beginning. And the question is, then how did this somethingness come out of nothingness? And this is the question that we're attempting to at least wrestle with a little bit. And we will arrive at a conclusion about, a biblical conclusion about it, granted, but one that I think is defensible and sensible. And again, I'm sure there are many who would disagree. Now, there is another comment that may be worth our spending a little bit of time on here. A man by the name of Paul C. Davies, D-A-V-I-E-S, in an article in a publication called The Second Look, London King's College, September 1979. The article is entitled, "Universe in Reverse, Can Time Run Backwards?" Now, when we were talking about evolution, I gave you Julian Huxley's quote for evolution, which he made the comment that evolution is a process essentially irreversible, that it is occurring in time, it is going in a direction, and it doesn't reverse itself. That may be the idea that the title of the article is alluding to. Now, just one sentence there. "The greatest puzzle is whether all the order in the universe came, where all the order in the universe came from originally." And again, it's just a statement of the thing that we're trying to deal with. It's here, and it is impossible for me to conceive of people who try and argue it isn't here. But since it's here, then a thoughtful person at some point ought to give a little bit of thought to the question, how did it get here? If there was nothing at one time and now there's something, how did that occur? How did it happen? In another article that Davies wrote, he published in Sky and Telescope, there is some, the title of the article is "What Hath C-O-B-E Wrote" in capital letters, and the C-O-B-E stand for Cosmic Background Explorer. This was one of the ventures of NASA, and so he is reacting to some conclusions that some people have come to on the basis of that particular experiment. "What Hath C-O-B-E Wrote." Now, in order not to be accused legitimately of not putting his comments in the right context, let me read some material here. And there are two places, two things, two statements I want you to give your thoughts to. Quote, when the Big Bang Theory became popular in the 1950s, many people used it to support the belief that the universe was created by God at some specific moment in the past. If I may interrupt, I have heard people make that comment. I do not agree, but I've heard it. A return to the quote. And some still regard the Big Bang as the creation, a divine act to be left beyond the scope of science. However, this sort of armchair theology is wide of the mark. The popular idea of a God who sets the universe going like a clockwork toy and then sits back to watch was ditched by the church in the last century. Again, let me interrupt. There are many in the church that is an accurate statement about, but I would remind those of you who are listening, there are a bunch of us that didn't join in that movement. We weren't around in the last century, and in this century, we disagree with it. We did not ditch the idea that God created. I don't think God created using a Big Bang, which we may talk about, but at least it is my opinion, certainly, that he did create. Now, continuing with Davy's comment, quantum events do not need well-defined prior causes. They can be regarded as spontaneous fluctuations. It is then possible to imagine the universe coming into being from nothing entirely spontaneously without violating any laws. Now, boy, you're talking about spontaneous generation. We're talking about it. And the refuge here is quantum mechanics, presumably. If you go to a time before there was stuff, then you don't have any laws, so you're not violating the laws. Now let me finish this up on this program. Although quantum cosmology must be regarded as highly speculative, an understatement, it does make some predictions. Remarkably, the data gleaned from COBE bear the hallmark of a quantum origin for the cosmos. It is therefore scientifically plausible to consider a universe with no need for an external creator in the traditional sense. End quote. Now here again, you've gone through a series of reasonings, starting with nothing and taking refuge in quantum fluctuations of some sort, and finally ending up with a universe that doesn't need a creator. To end this, I would simply remind you, this is not science. It is not even common sense. And yet it is typical of the foundations. I won't use the word explanation here because it's not an explanation. It is simply a typical of the mental construct that unregenerate men use in an effort to avoid the necessary conclusions to the biblical idea of a creator God.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.